Hello.
Okay. The title of my message today is actually The Good, the Most Important. I'm not sure if you could tell from my prayer. Actually, it's quite a difficult topic to me to speak on, but it dropped on my lap. I'm very sure it's the topic that the Lord wanted our church to hear. So I put in my best and try to be faithful to the word. As you all know, we have been studying in the cell group SRM, Scripture Roots of Our Ministry, and we've been going through it, and we have also been preaching through that study, topic from that study. Okay. So we are actually now in section 4, which is about God and His people. And the yellow one, part 1, 2, and 3, most cell groups have been through that. And in fact, we have preached through those three sections. Part 4, 5, and 6, some of us have started, some we have not. We'll be going into that. After we actually preached to, the elders preached to all the way until part 3, but Jeremy came back to the elders and said, you know, I felt that we didn't really unpack enough of some of the topic in the first three parts. And he wanted us to go back and revisit that. And if you remember, not last week, but the week before, Pastor Alvin spoke on using the story of the bees. And he used it to speak about unity and community. My sermon this week is actually also related to this unity and community. And the reason I said that this passage was, I'm pretty sure, pretty convinced that God asked us to cover it at our congregation. The reason I'm so sure is because I was actually tasked to facilitate the Wednesday night leaders discussion time of the SRM study. So one of the question related to unity and community, and that appears on page 90, and it asks this few questions. So the question that was asked, what are some of the serious threats to the healthy functioning of the body of Christ? And when that question was asked, there was 9 passages given for us to look into to understand the various kinds of threats that can come into our community. And then it further on asks us this question. Which of these are present not in your fellowship? I replaced that with in Ferris Park Baptist Church. And how could I begin to challenge or eliminate it from our community in a biblical manner? So that was the question that I was asked to facilitate. And as I facilitate, one of the things, the assignment that I asked the leaders to do is actually to go look through we discussed the 9 threats in detail. And then everyone, as we discussed, shared that, oh, you know what, all these apply to us. So I feel that that's a cop-out. Yes, of course all this apply to us, but which one are most applicable to us? So I asked each leaders to go back and pray, meditate, and think of 3 threats that you think most applicable to Ferris Park Baptist Church. And then each one of them would send an SMS to me privately, and I would actually collate the results. I believe, and I basically believe that as we do this exercise, because I believe God speaks to us collectively, and as we do this exercise, the top three threats that come up will be the ones that God is telling us applies to Fettes Park Baptist Church, and be aware. So, 16 people voted. Three of the threats received equal voting. And the rest, the other six, some have zero, some have one or two. So it's not even close. The three threats that receive equal voting receive 11 votes out of 16. So I think, to me, it's without a doubt that those three are equally important to Fettes Park Baptist Church, for us to know and be aware of, and to make sure that it doesn't threaten our church and the healthy functioning of this body of Christ. So we then took those three, which we haven't done. We only done one, which is the passage that I chose today, and we actually unpacked that in a very more detailed fashion. We went through a few meetings to discuss about this threat. And to be honest, I think initially the group struggled with this. Let me read to you. This is the passage that it's one of the nine, and this one received 11 votes, equal with the other two, which I'm not going to share today. I'm just going to speak on this. So let me read. Dear brothers and sister, when I was with you, this is Paul saying, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. So this is when Paul was with the church in Corinthian. I had to talk as though you belong to this world, or as though you were infants in the Christian life. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, but because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? When one of you says, I am the follower of Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, aren't you acting just like the people of the world? It is actually a very severe rebuke. That's why I think I want to take it seriously as I share this, and I want to take it humbly, because I believe this applies to each one of us, to me personally. And hopefully I can demonstrate that as I share with you. Now, before I go into more detail on this, I just want to take a step back and give an overview of this letter that Paul wrote, the First Corinthians. You know, a lot of sermon I've heard, and I've also studied passages from First Corinthians here and there. And oftentimes, a lot of passages talks about its teachings on Christian living. What is the right way to approach certain topics, and it's very applicable to how you live as a Christian. But I wanted, because I want to take this seriously, I said, you know what, let me just take a big giant step back and read through and look at 1 Corinthians as a whole to make sure I understand what is the point that the Lord is trying to point out to us. And if you the letter start off, Paul greeting the church. In fact, he praised the church for their eloquent words, their knowledge, and that they do not lack any spiritual giftedness. Let me repeat that. Paul said, praise this church in Corinthians. They are eloquent in their speeches. They have knowledge. And they do not lack any spiritual gifting. And I think that is also what the Lord is saying to us. At this body of Christ, we do not lack any spiritual gifting that will allow Fettes Park Baptist Church to fully function as a body of Christ. And that we have collectively the knowledge to know God. And we can speak eloquently about the gospel. But then, you know what? Immediately after he praised them, Paul went directly and confront them about this one point. So after those greetings, this few verses come up. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. For some members of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels, my dear brothers and sisters. Some of you are saying, I'm a follower of Paul. Others are saying, I follow Apollos, or I follow Peter, or I follow only Christ. Has Christ been divided into factions? So I think what the Lord is trying to warn us, and this threat that is out there, is divisiveness. In fact, you know what? One thing I'm is actually the last one. I follow only Christ. Isn't that nothing wrong with that, right? But Paul is saying that these are all, like Paul, Apollos, Peter, Christ. These are all people that obviously worthy of our following. But I think what Paul is pointing out is that this church uses this different teachings of Apollos, affinity to Paul, Peter, and it become a factions developed in the church. And you know, when the leadership came and discussed this, we look at this topic and say, you know what? None of the elders are worthy for, it's like Paul, Peter, Apollos, that we would follow one or the other and create faction. How is that applicable to Fettes Park Baptist Church? We can see if we take a giant step out and look at the global church of Christ, that you can see there are charismatic movement, there is, you know, extremely conservative, there is all these different denomination of churches. They are clearly divided. And in fact, we look back at church history, there's quarrels, there's all this bickering, for lack of the word, and some to an extent of killing each other over points of scriptures. But how is that applicable to Fettes Park Baptist Church? Are we really like that? Are we really like that? Or is God saying that in the future this may be in the cards if you're not careful? I'm not going to answer that for now. Hopefully, as I present my message today, that will come out. You know, after Paul highlighted this, their quarreling and the split loyalty between various groups at the church, he then goes on to address various questions about Christian living that this Corinthian church probably brought up. And my impression, or the way I look at this scripture, is that the bickering, the quarreling is probably over how to live as a Christian. All these ways of living. And some will say, oh, Paul said this, Apollo said this. So they are disagreeing over the practicality of living out their faith. And in Paul, instead of addressing they're probably going to Paul and say, hey, Paul, you know, we disagree on all these things, we quarrel, we argue. Can you shed some light on these topics? But Paul, before he actually gave them his view on all those things, he slammed them first about their divisiveness. He basically confronted their main problem, which is their divisiveness. I label my sermon the good, the most important. Obviously, how to live practically the right Christian way of living is good. Following Apollos, following Paul, following Peter is good. But is that the most important? So that's why my sermon title is The Good, the Most Important. This Corinthian church, were focusing on how to live right, a good thing, but at the expense of unity, the most important thing in the mind of Christ. They are focusing on living right before God and misses at the expense of unity. So let me just go back to this previous slide. So what causes divisiveness? I think this verse, I highlighted a few there. One is worldly rather than spiritual. They are not spiritual people. They belong to this world. They are still controlled by their sinful nature rather than, I would say, the Holy Spirit. They are basically stuck in the infancy of their faith. Because Paul said, when I was first with you, you were infant in Christ. You were just new believers. Now that after I left, you are stuck in that infancy, because it says, and you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. Now this is despite this group of people wanting to live the right Christian life. He says, yes, that's a good thing, but that's not the most important thing. You are still controlled by your sinful nature. One thing that I find it interesting, because I say Paul started off the letter by praising them for what? Their knowledge. They're eloquent in speeches. That they lack no spiritual gifting in the body. Which means if you lack no spiritual gifting, that body should be functioning and should be growing. But then Paul immediately, the next few verses, slammed them, saying that, but you are immature, stuck. And that you have no different than the worldly people. I think what Paul is basically saying that, you know what? You are so full of yourself. You think you have knowledge. You think you are eloquent in speech. When I first with you, you are baby in Christ. Now you all you have gained is better knowledge so that you can argue better with your eloquent in speeches. I mean, Paul didn't say that, but that's how I read it. You know, so all this Bible knowledge that you gain only make you better at arguing your point of view. You are still an infant. You're just better at arguing and better at winning an argument. So this is my main principle of this passage. Divisiveness is caused by Christian stuck in immaturity despite growing in knowledge. So I think, you know, the question I ask me, how do I know if I'm a mature Christian? I think that answers it. Is if I'm divisive, I'm clearly not mature. No matter how much Bible knowledge, how eloquent I can speak, I'm immature. So I think a true test of maturity is divisiveness. You know, Paul, being Paul, after he said this, after he convicted them with strong words, he then go on in the next few verses, I believe, to give them solutions to the immaturity problem that leads to this divisiveness among the fellowship. And I think me individually, and you individually, and us collectively as the local body of Christ at Fettes Park Baptist Church, can learn from these instructions that Paul gave to the Corinthian church. And I believe it applies to us. And in fact, I believe is the Lord speaking to us about this very fact that this threat of divisiveness will come into our fellowship if you don't address it. Maybe it's already here. I don't know. So, the next few verses, Paul said this. After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servant, through whom you believe that God, to whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it. But it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You can see on my slide title, focus on the grower. I think oftentimes We're very preoccupied with people. We're preoccupied with how that person project himself. We're preoccupied with how that the type of teaching the person is teaching. We have our own opinion. We, based on our experience, based on our history of studying God's Word, and then we have certain mindset. We're preoccupied with that. And then we miss the grower. And the grower is God. Apollos, Paul, each one of us speaking to each other's life are all co-laborers in Christ. We are co-workers. We're God's servant, merely God's servant. And we all have the same purpose, all of us. We may have different approaches, different point of view, different things that we hear hold more dearly than others, but at the end of all of it, we have the same purpose. And God is the one that make it grow. We are just helper. In fact, you know, Brother Wing, I'm not sure the hospital that he went to is Adventist Hospital. How many of you have been to Adventist Hospital? I know some of you work there. What is their logo? What is their slogan? God heals, we help. When I saw that, I mean, this is a fantastic slogan, you know. We help. We are helper. All of us, we help. But it's God that heals. All of us, all the elders, all the leaders, each one of you that speak into each other's life, share the God scripture understanding to each other, we help. But God is the one that grows. So if you are preoccupied, Paul is saying, if you are preoccupied with the people, you miss the grower. So if you focus your attention on the grower, then all these people that you were preoccupied with is merely there to add to God's purpose of growing us. So, you know, church leaders, elders, deacons, and those that come up, speakers that come up to preach, internet. Sometimes we follow certain people that Christian preacher leaders that we hold dearly, author that we like. They are merely servants of God. They are good to learn from, but they are not the most important. They're good to take in, but not the most important. So the focus, it should be on the most important. And in this case, the grower. You know, like, when we have some people that we favor, like, when I first became a Christian in Japan, actually, one of the cell group members actually brought this video study thing from Andy Stanley. How many of you know Andy Stanley? I actually love the guy because he's so fun. He presents scripture in a very applicable way, day to day, that you can actually apply. And I believe he can be a comedian if he's not a preacher. So my early Christian walk is kind of a little bit defined by him, because I like this guy, so everything that he teaches is good. I hold it, you know, this is good, I apply it. And when I discuss with people, you know, oftentimes I will mention, oh, you know what, I learned this from him. So I'm kind of like the Corinthian church. I follow Apollos, I follow Andy Stanley. Good, not the most important. And alternatively, you know, certain things, because I like the way he teach, so anyone that teaches something different, I dislike. It doesn't go into me. So I became a specialized Christian. My faith is only stuck in this one area because I shut off the rest of the thing. And I believe this Corinthian church is a little bit like that. Oftentimes, when we favor a leader over another, no matter what this leader that we favor say or do, even bad things, we accept it. But this leader that we beforehand we already have shut off and we say we don't like, it doesn't matter how good he's, what good teaching he say, you find problems, you find fault, you pick holes. I'm not sure about you, but when I honestly go examine myself, I find myself doing that. As we do that, you know, it's still a little bit okay, even though I don't think it's okay that you have that within you. But oftentimes, I will go and try to convince other people, you know, hey, you know what? This guy's saying he's totally wrong. He should be this. And as we all do that, what happened? Factions develop within our fellowship. So I think this is the first point that Paul is pointing out. Focus on the most important, which is the grower. Learn from the good. But remember, the focus is on the most important. This is my principle from that passage. God's workers co-labored, but it is God that makes the seed grow. So this Corinthian church, the reason they are stuck in infancy of their faith, no different than when Paul left them, because they were preoccupied with people and not the grower. So they develop knowledge. They learn how to speak. You know, those two things that those leaders that they hold, teaching that they hold dearly, eloquently. And they know how to argue so well that they always win arguments. But they are not growing. They are in infancy of their faith. I find myself doing that. So, going back to the question I asked you, are you a mature Christian? And I told you the test. Am I divisive? In my thinking, in my speech, in my action. Am I divisive? If I'm divisive, I'm infant in Christ. I'm not mature. So, first solution, focus on the grower and not be preoccupied with individuals. Second solution, grounded on the foundation. Let me read. You are God's building. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewel, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be safe, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. If you remember my prayer earlier on, I mentioned, hopefully what I say today is made of gold, silver, and jewels that will survive fire. You know, those materials, if you burn, what happens? It refines them. It becomes better. And not wood, hay, or straw that will be burned up. And that will not suffer great loss. You know, this passage, while kind of similar to the previous passage, but I think there's a shifting in the focus point. From, there's still the builder, the people, but the shifting of the focus point is now shifting towards the building materials. It says foundation, and then all these people have different building materials, and all these building materials that you put into it, some will survive the tests of judgment, some will not. Hinting that every builder will build with different materials. Some of the things that I say will be correct, will be good. Those are the gold, silver, and jewel. Some of my actions and things that I do that I stand up here will be burned, will not survive because I'm preaching heresy. So hopefully what I'm sharing today is not that. And I really, that's why I pray for it to be true. So I believe this passage is talking about divisiveness caused by certain doctrinal beliefs that we hold dearly. We all read scripture, but we all interpret it maybe slightly differently. And in fact, that's why there's all this different denomination out there. So I believe this passage is pointing to the building material. It's no longer the people, but the building material. And I believe the building materials are basically this doctrinal beliefs or our interpretation. Forget doctrinal beliefs make you... this is important. It's obviously true when I say doctrinal beliefs. But leave that aside. Let's use it as whatever scripture that we look at and we interpret it in the way that we believe is correct and we hold so dearly to it that we reject any other ways of looking at it. And I believe he's talking about that. Because I think oftentimes when quarrels and splitting of church, they split over two things. What? People and doctrines, isn't it? That's usually what split up the church. People, personality, doesn't get along, or doctrines, but doctrinal beliefs. That's the two reasons church split. And I think Paul addresses that here. So I believe that sometimes we are so tied to a certain doctrinal beliefs or certain opinions about how we read a particular scripture, that we actually limit our ability to see how God functioned out of those areas. Give you an example. Let's say if I believe that certain things happen in Scripture, mentioned in Scripture, happens during the Acts time and will not happen again in today's modern day. I don't believe that, but some people do. If you do that, do you think it's possible that you limit God? That something that God does in this, you know, certain area that you basically held on to such a strong belief that it will never happen again, you actually miss seeing God performing miracles in those areas. That's what I believe. I give you an example of myself. When I became a believer in Japan. Sorry, make sure I have time. I became a believer in Japan, and in Japan, the focus. Japan is a. How much detail am I going to go into? Okay. Japan Japan is a society where it's not very spiritual. There's a lot of shrines around, but it's spiritually cold. Penang is very spiritual. Everything is spiritual. And everyone believes in what they believe so strongly and so passionately. They burn the biggest joystick in the whole Malaysia, I believe. I grew up in Ipoh, I don't see those like this big, three of them that they burn. They are so passionate that Thai Pusum is so massive. I've never seen such a big, so incredibly spiritual. So when I accepted Christ in Japan, I rule out. So when I read scripture about demons, about all this, I kind of just say, I don't experience that. And in fact, I don't experience that in Japan because it's spiritually cold. You know, Satan is incredibly good. He will play the right cards at each society. Japan spiritually cold? Okay, make it spiritually cold. That's how I'm going to attack that society. Penang? Oh, all this spiritual people, I will play the other card. So, when I moved to Penang, so let me take that. So, I came out with my Christian faith early on with that I believe only certain part of Scripture. Literally, other part as more not literal, but what is that right word? Anyway, you know what I mean. but the first incident that happened to me when I got to Penang is we hired a maid and he was demon possessed. The maid is from Indonesia, temporary maid. She spoke in Hokkien in a man's voice and her eyes turned red in front of me. That is how God teaches me and opened my eyes to a different dimension. So after that incident, you know, I basically take everything I believe, everything on the Bible literally. It can happen, you know. And I believe that is the right perspective because if I don't, I'm limiting God. I'm limiting myself in seeing how God functions. So, anyway, that's one example of how I limit. My doctrinal belief limits mine. And I will argue with people. In fact, I argue with my wife, you know. My wife is the opposite. She's very spiritual. So she, when we first flew into Penang, she said, I'm so heavy. Everything is so heavy. And we drive, when we first arrived, we drive through all the street corners. And every corner there's this, Hindu shrine. And she would want to warm it. And I'm like, what? So, I would argue with her. So, within my family, there is divide. Right? Both of us love Christ. Both of us wanted to honor Christ. Both of us want to do the right thing, but we argue over this point. And of course, God just woke me up. My wife is right. And I move on. You know, one assurance that I take from this is, Paul said, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have. So while there is danger of this confusing in doctrines and understanding, interpreting scripture, we want to get, understanding and getting to the right teaching is the good thing. It's not the most important thing. The most important thing is the right foundation. The true foundation in Christ Jesus. The good, the most important. And I think God, using Paul, assure us that no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Paul is urging the Corinthian church, with your eloquent defense and argument about Scripture, be grounded on the foundation. All these arguments, some will be precious jewel, gold and silver, some will be wood, hay and straw. They are still a building. A building will be part of a building. As we build our faith, as we gain much more knowledge, this building built with both mixture of this six, mixture of, it's six, but it's actually two kinds, perishable and non-perishable material. At the end of the judgment time, you will know what will be remain. And you know what? It's not great loss that the wood, the hay, and all those are burned away. They are useless anyway, right? So, in fact, at the judgment day when we are refined, all that is remaining in us will be the good. The jewel, the gold, the silver, and the foundation that will not be burned. So, I guess what I'm saying is, do not be tentative in trying to figure out the right interpretation of the scripture. Those are good things for us to do. Be courageous. Ask the Spirit to help us to figure those out. Because it's not to be worried. At the end of the day, you'll be refined and the good one will be left. The loss, you don't need it anyway. Okay? So if what I'm speaking here today is the wood hay, doesn't matter, it'll be burned. Whatever that remain with you will be pure and good. You know, chapter 4 says, so look at Apollos and me. I want to jump forward to this. As mere servants of Christ who have been put in charge of explaining God's mystery. Now, a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. So, Chun, elders, we have to be faithful. As for me, it matters very little how I might be evaluated by you or by any human authority. I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't prove that I'm right. It is the Lord Himself who will examine me and decide. So don't make judgment about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns. So I think what this Paul is asking the Corinthian church is that be discerning when you hear your leaders, your speaker, test it against scriptures, test it against, ask the Spirit to help you to discern. Because even Paul, he said, even I, even though I, as I said, I want to share with you what I believe is true. And I truly believe what I am sharing today is true. My conscience is free, but doesn't mean that I'm right. That's what the verse say. Doesn't mean that what I'm saying is right. But God will judge and he will decide. So why are we... So do not quarrel, bicker, you know, like fight over doctrinal beliefs. Discuss them. Sometimes agree to disagree. Sometimes you can maybe change other people's mind. But be grounded on Jesus Christ. Different builders uses different materials, but what will survive is the true foundation and the right materials. So, there. Whatever that survived will be better. I think Paul is saying that, and I believe everyone that stand up here and share the word, they believe that what they share is true and is spoken, is led by God. And they and we desire to explain it as best as we could. Every one of us, not just me, everyone that stand up here, I believe, is that. And but doesn't mean that everything that we say is right. We believe it is. The speaker believes. If not, he won't be saying it. But be discerning, test it. Test the teaching against Scripture. Do not prejudge based on our preconceived opinion. Because oftentimes we have, as I said, you know, what Andy Stanley said is correct. The rest is, don't write it off before you hear it. So when you don't like a speaker, don't just write off everything that he teaches. Maybe he has something good that God is using him to share today to you. So, discerning, but not judge. The third part, this is the last part of, should be good time. It says, do not destroy the temple, is the title. Don't you realize that all of you together, all of us together, are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God lives in you, in us. God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. So Paul ended up this section. He first slammed them for divisiveness. He gave two reasons why they are divided, why they are immature. Which is, they are not focused on the grower and they are not grounded on the true foundation. He then urged them or warned them not to destroy the temple, not to destroy this body of Christ. Because God will destroy you if you do so. And in fact, Pastor Elvin's message, the B message, I call it. Last week, say Ephesians 4. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace, for there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father, who is over all and in all and living through all. You know, one thing that I realized as I put together this sermon, I didn't even notice that. Did you realize that Trinity came up today? Who is the grower? The Father God. Who is the foundation? Lord Jesus. Who dwells in the temple? The Holy Spirit. I find it amusing when sometimes you learn things like that. So I was like, oh wow, that's fantastic. And it takes all three of them to build this church, to hold this church together. And Paul said, don't destroy it. Don't even think about it. Because God will discipline you. Again, two areas that causes division. We divide over people. We divide over doctrine. Do not neglect the good, but focus on the most important. The grower, the foundation, and the temple of God. Make sure that we protect them. Do not let our differences in opinion, differences in affinity to certain individual, cause us to destroy the temple of God. Collectively, we are the temple of God. Do not break it apart. And interestingly, God actually has a solution for us in the form of a Holy Spirit. It's good that we know that the foundation is Christ. It's good that we know that God is the grower. It's good that we know that we should focus on God, the grower. It's good that we know that we have to be grounded on a foundation, but oftentimes we couldn't do it. Our sinful nature get the better of us. But the very temple that we're trying to hold together is dwelled by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in us actually allow us the ability to focus on the grower, the ability to focus, be grounded on Jesus Christ. It gives us the ability to look over the differences, look over someone's failings, and see the good in them. I can't remember which speaker one came out here, said this, a while back, and it stuck in my mind for a long time. It's easy for anyone to see a problem in someone. But it takes a someone filled with the Holy Spirit to see good in everyone. It takes someone filled with the Holy Spirit to see good in everyone. It's easy for anyone to pick fault and see the problem with the other person. You know, Paul is relentless. He doesn't stop. He said, you know what? Whether these, on chapter 4, last few verses, whether these arrogant people just give pretentious speeches, they're eloquent in their speeches, or whether they really have God's power. For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. Which do you choose? That's the parting question. Which do you choose? Do you choose to live by God's power? Living by what we just heard? Or what we just heard just now, is this going to be add on to my knowledge and I can use it more eloquently to defend my point? Mere talk? Or do we want to actually, as a church, collectively, individually, the question was, what can I do to address this problem, right? That was one of the questions that in the SRM study. To me, the question is, do I want to live using the God's power, the Holy Spirit in me, so that I can be a uniting force instead of a divisive force in this congregation, in my family, in my workplace, in whatever place, situation I am in. Am I going to be divisive or am I going to be uniting in my speeches, in my actions, even in my thoughts of individual? Am I going to be divisive? And I personally choose to heed God's word. That's the end of my sermon. So let me pray for us. Lord, I thank you for using me today, actually teaching me through my sermon preparation for this preaching slot today, to learn so much about you, to learn that what is the most important? Well, there's many good things in this world that I interact with. Those are good things. But help me focus on the most important thing, Lord. So, Father, I just want to pray for the whole body of Christ of Fettes Park Baptist Church, that we will heed this message today, that we believe truly that that it's not a coincidence that you highlighted this threat to the leaders, Lord, but it's actually truly a threat to our fellowship. And that we will hold, and we thank you for Paul's teaching to the Corinthians, that we also benefited from it today, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we will not be talkers, but livers of what we learned today, Lord. Lord, we thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Oh, wow, 12 o'clock. So, you can be dismissed, huh? And we can have fellowship. Thanks.